Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to another episode of Say Why to Drugs with me, Dr. Susie Gage. In each episode of this podcast, I chat with a guest about one particular recreational drug, its appeal, its harms, but also potential benefits it might have. Once again in this episode, I'm joined by the awesome Scroobius Pip, and we're chatting about nitrous oxide. The effects of nitrous are very short-lasting, but while intoxicated, you can feel dizzy or lightheaded and euphoric, and sometimes sounds and music can feel slightly distorted and you might have hallucinations. But the effect is over within seconds or minutes. So here we go, Pip and I say why to nitrous oxide.
Say why to drugs with Dr. Susie Gage.
Excellent. So on this episode, I thought we would talk about nitrous oxide.
Excellent. Yep, up for that.
So this is a colourless, sort of sweet-tasting gas that people inhale. And what do you think is the appeal of nitrous?
It's one that I'm really new to and not overly familiar with, so I'm excited to learn about it. It's seen as kind of a party drug, isn't it? Kind of, is it... It's not a legal high, is it? Because, again, I kind of seem to group it in with that kind of easier to get hold of kind of thing that people will take and get, yeah.
I think, yeah, it was certainly debated quite a lot in this Psychoactive Substances Act. Nitrous was one of the substances that was talked about as a reason for needing the Psychoactive Substances Act.
Yeah.
So it's really popular in the UK, or it certainly seems to be from surveys. So... The Global Drug Survey in 2016 reckoned that over half of UK responders had tried it and around 38% had tried it in the last year.
Wow.
But the people who respond to the Global Drug Survey is like a self-selecting sample, so it's pretty hard to know whether sort of how to interpret that. And the Criminal Drug Survey no longer collect information on nitrous.
All right.
But in 2013 and 14, they found that around 7.6% of 16 to 24-year-olds had used it in the last year, and that was up, but not significantly up from the year before, where it was 6.1% of sort of, I guess, young people, 16 to 24-year-olds.
Yeah, sure.
And so before the Psychoactive Substances Bill, it was pretty easy to get hold of, despite the fact that sort of festivals had already banned it and... local councils had tried to sort of reduce the use in city centres and parks and that kind of thing. But because it's like has legitimate uses in say the food industry, it's used for whipping cream.
Right, yeah.
And it's also used in home brewing as well. So it's sort of, it can still be purchased for these, even after the Psychoactive Substances Bill, it can still be purchased for these reasons. And that's like online or even on the high street sometimes.
Yeah.
But the Home Office is trying to like introduce guidelines at the moment to stop people from buying it.
Is there a duty of care if you're stocking this or selling this in that kind of a situation, I guess?
Yeah, well, that's
If it's a 16-year-old kid coming in saying, I need it to whip my cream,
there are plenty of 16-year-old chefs, you know.
That's great, it's a valid point.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be difficult for retailers if the responsibility lies with them, how to tell if someone might be purchasing it for recreational use versus legitimate use.
Yeah.
Anecdotally, it's been sort of reported that it's been less visible at festivals this summer. I've literally just got back from Latitude when we're recording this, and I did not see anyone using nitrous, but I was only there for a day.
And it's a bit of a posh festival.
It is true. having said that, I cycle round Bristol a lot, and almost every day I cycle past the little canisters on the street and nearly come off my bike all the time. Thanks, guys.
Right, are they the little silver?
The little silver.
Things?
Yes,
yeah, I've seen them actually.
So that's how nitrous is usually consumed. It's usually dispensed into balloons, like party balloons, and then inhaled from those balloons.
Right.
And actually, one of the biggest sort of concerns about nitrous is the antisocial aspect of it. So the antisocial behaviour of people in parks inhaling balloons and then acting like idiots. And then the litter from these canisters everywhere, and certainly over Bristol, I see a lot of them,
wow,
the canisters.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Now, in terms of the effects, so there's a very short-lasting sort of euphoria feeling and perhaps a slight dissociative feeling as well. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the appeal as well is it's said to have sort of synergistic effects when it's used with other substances. So people report that it actually increases their enjoyment of MDMA intoxication.
Right. So it can be used to kind of as a supplement to bump up whatever else you're taking.
Yeah. And because of its sort of ease to get hold of and short-lasting effects, that it's sort of easier to mix it with other stuff as well because it doesn't feel like such a big deal, perhaps.
Yes, of course.
You run the risk of dizziness and falling over while intoxicated, but it's very, very, short-lasting intoxication effects. Pretty much as soon as you stop breathing it in, the effect kind of starts to wear off.
Oh, really? It's that shorter buzz, kind of just you get that initial hit.
Pretty much, yeah. And very rarely you run the risk of asphyxiation. So generally, if you're using it with a balloon, it's much safer because you're sort of breathing in. But some people inhale it straight from the canister, or they put bags of it over their heads, or sort of try and hotbox a room or a car or something. And what happens then is that you need to also inhale oxygen as well. Oxygen's extremely important.
Yeah.
So if you are trying, if you just have a bag of nitrous over your head, then you really run the risk of asphyxiation. Sorry.
Yeah.
So there have been case reports of deaths in people who are using sort of surgical masks or inhaling with bags over their heads. But if you inhale using a balloon, then the risk of asphyxiation is really, really low.
So it's a safer method to transfer it into a balloon. And then I guess you've also got a greater level of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of do you know what I mean? Of how much you're taking in and not, because again, like with a bag, it's a bag, and then if you start to gasp, you're just taking in more.
Yeah.
And with a canister, they're very quick release that could overwhelm, I guess.
Well, even when people try and sort of fill a room with it and just crack the window slightly, or fill a car with it and crack the window slightly, if you don't let in enough oxygen, even if you've got a little bit coming in and it's not enough, then you run the risk of these same problems as well. So it's just much, much safer to use balloons.
Yeah.
Also, I've heard reports of the people inhaling direct from the canister, and because of the pressurised nature of the canister, the mouthpiece gets super cooled and people get frostbite on their lips. So.
Yeah, again, I was going to say my vague knowledge of it is that kind of thing of it messing your lips up a bit and stuff like that. But again, that's because of the intensity of the coldness it can form.
Yeah. And in terms of sort of longer term effects, it seems to have relatively low toxicity in comparison to lots of other commonly used recreational drugs. Mm-hmm. And there's some evidence that there might be dependence, but again, it's the typical thing of it's hard to do these studies, and I think it's become a relatively recent phenomena.
I was going to say it feels to me like a very young drug.
Yeah.
In the appeal and in itself, it feels that it's young and new to the scene, but also the appeal tends to be younger kids in parks and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely sort of its properties have been known about for a long time. So I did my undergrad at UCL in London, and I did psychology, but I took a module in pharmacology called Drugs and the Mind. Mm-hmm. That's appropriately enough.
Yeah.
And that course had a practical. So the practical was we got into groups of four, and two people took either vodka and orange or placebo orange juice.
Yeah.
And then the other two people were attached to sort of face mask canisters and had nitrous oxide infused air. So there was still air in the canister mm-hmm. as well. It wasn't just pure nitrous. And or placebo, just plain air.
Yeah.
And then we had to complete a load of sort of cognitive tasks and physical tasks. Right. So like, you know, those things where you've got like a bit of wire and you have to run a thing around it in
without
case it buzzes.
It buzz, yeah.
Yeah. So we had to do that kind of thing as well. It was a good fun practical, except that it was all randomly assigned and I got the orange juice and I was extremely disappointed because it would have been fun to try this sort of in a very safe experimental condition, of course.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So it's definitely sort of its properties have been known about. In fact, we'll get on to Sir Humphrey Davy back in the mists of time. Was a big fan of nitrous. Okay, so dependency, little evidence other than sort of case studies where you see an individual report on an individual person. And actually, the people who do report with dependency tend to be people who have access to large quantities, which tends to be health and medical professionals who have access to them in sort of hospitals. Yeah. So you do sometimes see, as we talked about, damage to the lungs and mouth, but these are really only in people who inhale it directly from a pressurized canister rather than people who dispense it into a balloon first.
Yeah. And in many ways, that would come from inhaling anything from a pressurized canister rather than specifically the drug itself.
Now, heavy nitrous use is associated with vitamin B12 deficiency. So this is pretty serious. It can involve like tingling in your fingers, numbness, and even in really extreme cases, difficulty walking. Right. So you'd have to be a regular heavy user. I think in the sort of average weekend user, it would be pretty rare. In this global drug survey that happened in 2016, I think 4% of people who use nitrous reported these kind of symptoms. But again, like, this is just a survey that people do online. It's impossible to tell whether they were actually caused by the nitrous.
Yeah.
And some people who are heavy users actually take vitamin supplements to sort of counteract this.
Right, interesting.
Yeah. There's the risk of hypoxia, but again, it's if you don't inhale oxygen with the nitrous, you're sort of asking for trouble, really.
Right.
So if we get onto the myths.
Yes.
Okay, so one I heard was that hippie crack is more dangerous than laughing gas.
Right.
But it's the same. It's just a sort of rather insulting slang name for nitrous, hippie crack.
So it's the same.
Yeah, but I think the word crack immediately makes you think extremely addictive and quite dangerous. But...
And the word hippie sounds insulting in this day and age, really. So, yeah, that's interesting, though. So it's the same substance, but depending on how they've phrased it or termed it. Because laughing gas seems like great fun.
Yeah.
It seems like there's no real risk there. So this will quite literally be a laugh. But, yeah.
And I think it's you more sort of know that laughing gas is the thing that you're sort of potentially given in hospitals and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's something that's sort of got much more positive connotations, whereas, hippie crack sounds like something to be avoided, really, at all costs.
Yeah, of course.
The other myth that I heard was that it works by starving the brain of oxygen. But as we've sort of already established, starving the brain of oxygen just leads to passing out and possibly, in extreme circumstances, death. So it's not to be used to get some sort of psychoactive experience.
Yeah. That's not how it gets the effect, but that's something you need to avoid.
Like,
that's a risk that if you're taking too much of it or not getting the right as said oxygen at the time, that's a risk rather than an effect, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And does it have any medical benefits?
Right.
Yeah, it does. It does. It can be used as an anaesthetic, as a tranquilizer, as a painkiller, and it's sort of there'll be a canister probably in the corner of your dentist.
I was going to say, because that's where I was first, you're first aware of it is in films or whatever else when they'll have too much of the laughing gas or things like that. So it's, I guess, my knowledge of it rather than for whipping cream or any of these is in those situations, in a hospital situation. So
And obstetrics as well. So during pregnancy, it's extremely useful.
Right. Yeah.
Sports doctors also use it as well.
Right.
But as I sort of hinted at, historically, it's been very popular. So Sir Humphrey Davy was investigating surgical gases and first sort of tried nitrous and used to take it himself, and actually used to do sort of demonstrations at the Royal Institution, and actually became a fellow of the Royal Society. But he thought it was absolutely wonderful and used to sort of espouse its enjoyable qualities and do demonstrations where he'd take it, or he would give it to someone else to show the qualities of it.
Big fan.
And now again, it's sort of, as I mentioned, that the people who seem to have presented with dependence on it tend to be people for whom it's available, which do tend to be health and medical professionals as well.
Yeah. Right, that's fascinating.
And there we go.
And there we are. Thanks for listening to this episode of Say Why to Drugs, and special thanks to Professor Harry Sumner for his advice on this episode. If you want to find out more or continue the conversation, do join the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/saywhytodrugs, or find me on Twitter at Sousaphone. The final two episodes of this batch of five are sort of a two-parter. Pip and I will be discussing so-called legal highs or new psychoactive substances. I've split these into two because there are at least really two very different types of substance that fall under that heading. Drugs that are loosely based on cannabis, although their similarity to cannabis maybe isn't as great as you'd think, and drugs loosely based on MDMA or CAT. So the next episode will be about synthetic cannabinoids, so things like spice, and then the final episode of this batch will be about synthetic cathinones, so substances such as mephedrone, plant food, bath salts. They're called lots of different things. So do join us next time for that. You've been listening to Say Why to Drugs with me, Dr. Susie Gage. The music and editing were by Jim Murray. The artwork is by @MyNameIsAd. Say Why to Drugs would not have been possible without the generous support of I'm a Scientist, Get Me Out of Here, the Medical Research Council, and Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.